You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got local, state, national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, we're covering all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is, what day is this? Tuesday? It's Tuesday? Is it only Tuesday? Are you sure it's not Thursday?
It's only Tuesday.
it's Tuesday, but Camel Day is coming, so this is hang on. But anyway, hope you guys are having a great day, and that was obviously Boomer. He is on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
That's good.
All day long.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you at 4:15 p.m. That's 4:15. U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville will be on the show with us. He's been making waves up in D.C., which I'm for that, but at least these kind of waves. But he will be on the show with us at 4:15 to talk about some of the latest developments in his resistance to the Department of Defense, promoting abortion. And we'll also talk about his thoughts on what's going on with Wagner Group and Russia, because he does sit on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and I want to get his thoughts on that. So lots going on, 4:15 p.m. today, U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville. And then there's this triple dipper thing, so hit it.
The triple dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, you know the deal. I start working the show. I find the wokeness here and the wokeness there and the wokeness everywhere I look, and all God's children see wokeness. And next thing you know, I've got a whole plethora, a pallet full. I've got a buffet, if you will, a cornucopia filled with wokeness, and yep, we're going to do it. Adventures in Woke World, number one on the Triple Dipper. It's got some good stuff in it today. Number two, border wars. You know, I don't think you're hearing as much right now about the southern border, but it is every bit the issue that it's always been. We just got too many other things taking up the 24/7 news cycle, but the reality is that southern border really hasn't improved, but there have been some developments. So we're going to talk about that. Number two on the Triple Dipper, the border wars is what I'm calling it. And then number three, we're going to cover down on issues related to national security. In conjunction with that conversation with Senator Tuberville, we're going to cover down on several issues that relate to national security from a variety of different angles. It's a dangerous world out there, y'all. And I'm telling you, probably need to be more ready than ever before. More ready than ever before. National security, number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump over to my comments. You know, and speaking of national security, I went to Ranger School with a cook. A cook. I mean, what's a cook doing in Ranger School? He was what we used to call a combat spoon. And he might be flipping burgers and slinging hash, but he was the baddest cook working the mess halls, let me tell you. And you got to love that. But I find myself thinking, would the newest generation of troops have that kind of attitude? When President Reagan spoke at the cliffs overlooking the Normandy beaches, a place called Pont-de-Hoc, where under withering fire, Army Rangers had climbed the ropes to fight Germans hand-to-hand on the rocky topside, he asked a question in his speech to some of the surviving Rangers who were there present for his speech. He said, "You were young the day you took these cliffs. Some of you were hardly more than boys, with the deepest joys of life before you, yet you risked everything here. Why? Why did you do it? What impelled you to put aside the instinct for self-preservation and risk your lives to take these cliffs? What inspired all the men of the armies that met here? We look at you, and somehow, we know the answer. It was faith and belief, and it was loyalty and love." And he ended the speech by saying, "Strengthened by their courage, heartened by their valor, and borne by their memory, let us continue to stand for the ideals for which they lived and died." That's an amazing commentary on a group of young men who did amazing things. But let me just say, it's easy right now to find something to complain about when it comes to the military. There's an old joke that, you know, no matter what old veteran you ask, they'll always tell you it was harder back when they were in. They always shined more brass, marched more miles, slogged in more mud, won more fights. But old guys also stare down the younger generation serving in uniform, and they question if they've got what it takes. It's the natural order of things. I mean, that's just the way it goes. Can the next generation shine the brass, march the mile, slog in the mud, or win all the fights? Well, like I said, with all the generational social upheaval we see right now, it's easy to find something about today's military to complain about. But then you get to see them. And those young troopers are proudly wearing their first uniform, or bragging about their score on a PT test, or marching by in formation, singing cadence. And you realize, we're going to be okay. And I say that not because I've decided to embrace wokeness from the upper levels of the Department of Defense, not at all. I say it because I believe that there's still something about being an American and signing up to serve that is just as strong today as it won when those boys at Pointe du Hoc climbed the cliffs. I mean, it's still a real thing. We still have strong young men and women who not only have the ability to serve, but they have the heart and the drive. And man, I'm glad. I love it when there's like a little bit of swagger in their step, or that look of extra cockiness, or that rough-cut sense of humor that no one can do better than a grunt from the U.S. I mean, we are the cowboys of the world, and when they put on that uniform, they know it. They just know it. And I get swelled up with pride sometimes watching the next generation of up-and-coming soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines, and I love stories about the things they say and do. Nobody does it or says it like a Joe from the States. Like that story from December 1944. They're in the Battle of the Bulge. A tank rolled up to a young paratrooper. This is a true story. And he was digging a foxhole. And the story goes, the tank commander leaned out over the turret and he asked if this was the front line. And the young private stopped digging his hole and he looked up and asked, "Are you looking for a safe place?" And the tank commander said, "Yeah." To which the private said, like only a paratrooper can, "Well, buddy, just pull your vehicle in behind me because I'm the 82nd Airborne Division. This is as far as the bastards go." Who talks like that? U.S. soldiers do, that's who. I heard about a young Marine attack helicopter pilot in the invasion of Grenada. He wrote home that he kept hearing that Grenada produced more nutmeg, than any other country in the world, and that he had cracked the code as to why that was important. He said, number one, Grenada produces more nutmeg than any place in the world. Number two, the Soviets and the Cubans are trying to take Grenada. Number three, you can't make good eggnog without nutmeg. And number four, you can't have Christmas without eggnog. So number five, the Soviets and the Cubans must be trying to steal Christmas. Number six, we stopped them. I mean, that's classic American spirit, y'all. That's humor in a foxhole. It's just good. I remember a personal experience, and I've had a bunch of them, seeing Joes and their humor in any possibility. In Baghdad, back in 2004, I was attached to an infantry battalion from Oregon. We had a rough time during what was known as the Shia uprising. We had lost some good men. And in the middle of being mortared and shot at and dodging IEDs, we began to notice that anti-U.S. graffiti was also springing up all around our area. So our guys took to carrying cans of black spray paint. If the mission allowed, they'd spray over it. It was a heck of a thing, though, when I began noticing another new trend, as boys from Oregon would cover up the anti-U.S. rhetoric and then paint "Go Ducks" on the walls of Baghdad. We had to put a stop to it, but man, that was worth a good laugh. The spirit of the American soldier is still alive and well, in my opinion, and it's a fighting spirit. And that spirit that I'm talking about, it's really a byproduct of the nation they grew up in. I've been around troops from other countries. There's some good, solid soldiering going on in other places, but nothing like ours. And I don't mean just in past generations. I'm talking about right now. Every man or woman in uniform today is there because they want to be. We have an all-volunteer force. There are no conscripts. There's nobody avoiding jail time by service. To be in a U.S. military uniform, you have to want to be there. It doesn't matter what specialty, what MOS, what rating you sign up for. You can be a Navy SEAL or a clerk typist, and either way, there's still a little bit more of an edge to you than your peers in the civilian world. And I look at today's military, and sure, I get irritated at minutia. I see things I want to critique or methods and means of accomplishing things in the ranks that I believe could be done differently, mostly because I'm an old soldier. But by and large, I really do believe that if the bad guys stepped over the line, that we would still be fielding the best fighting force in the world, bar none. In that vein, Ronald Reagan again, he gave a radio address back in 1982 on Armed Forces Day. And in that address, he related a passage from a classic book called The Bridges at Toko Ri. In the passage he was referencing, there was an officer who stood on the flight deck all night waiting for the men of his squadron to return to the carrier. Reagan recounted that as the planes began to return, the officer asked, "Where do we find such men?" And Reagan then went on to answer the question himself by saying, "Well, we find them where we've always found them. They are the product of the freest society man has ever known. They make a commitment to the military. They make it freely because the birthright we share as Americans is worth defending. Y'all, I'll be honest with you. I believe Ronald Reagan got it right. And that was not a statement made just for a past generation. That was as much for today's generation of fighting men and women. They are the best among us. And my irritations and my grumpiness and my occasional complaints will never be allowed to creep into a bitterness or a doubt in who those troopers are that wear our uniforms. So God bless our troops. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, Roger that. That's it's amazing to me. I mean, I get the biggest kick out of stories about soldiers just being Joes, you know? But the truth be told, I may get irritated at wokeness or policy or whatever else, but I still believe that the rank and file is the best among the world. And I believe they'd be there if the time came again. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I got some texts going right now. The text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I got some breaking news that I get to in 1 second here, but let me just jump to the text lines real quick. Brian from Huntsville texted in. I mentioned that guy. He was a combat spoon, Ranger qualified cook. He says, "Oh yeah." He says the movie Under Siege with Steven Seagal. The cook was a SEAL on the USS Missouri. Yes, he was. I'm pretty sure he was sent there to hide him and to protect him. But anyway, yeah, you're right, Brian. Thomas from Athens. Oh, this is great. He says, "Great intro. Thank you, sir." Huntsville started celebrating Armed Forces Celebration Week yesterday with Concert in the Park by Army Band from Fort Pinning. Fort Moore. Then he says, plus a Brigadier General swore in 6 young men from North Alabama on stage during intermission. That is awesome. Plus the Huntsville chapter of the AUSA has 33,000 plus members. Man, that is awesome. Love that. What else we got here? JT from Lacey Springs. Yeah, he just laid it all out there. He says, go Ducks, War Eagle, Roll Tide, Save the Rocket, and RSR rocks. RSR being Right Side Radio.
Yes, thank you, JT. That's awesome.
That was a good one. John from Huntsville. Well, my texters went out. Where'd he go? Come on, texter. Texting streamer. Well, apparently John from Huntsville broke my texter.
John from Huntsville, he actually said, Phil, that was one of your best monologues ever. Also, I wonder how much eggnog costs these days.
Thank you, John. And my texture is back up now, so you didn't break it. Appreciate that. Hey, listen, a bit of breaking news. So we just got the word here in the last hour or so. Governor Ivey has indeed called the legislature in for a special session to redraw the district lines. So that's going to happen. We knew it was. Just a question of when. Well, the timelines put in place by the court mean that they have to have their maps approved at the legislative level by the 21st of July. So she's calling them in effectively on the 17th of July. That's absolutely the minimum number of days. I don't know why she did it that way. I mean, granted, everything you do is a cost, but this is like a court mandate. But the 17th is when the legislature is set to convene. They'll do some homework between now and then, but most of the legislative process homework is going to be done once they've all gathered. So they'll have recommendations in place. They've got like a dozen maps that are being considered right now. They're being proposed by the plaintiffs in the case. They're being proposed by the Democrats. They're being proposed by the Republicans. In the end, it's a Republican supermajority. But they still have to draw it now within the constraints of being more racist. So that's going to be awful. We'll see how this goes. But I mean, I've never seen this before. When the courts mandate that we have to give more consideration to race, it just, anyway, The bottom line is they're coming in on the 17th, leaving no room for error. And I say that because there are times when, you know, you can get down there. And here's what I predict. In fact, I'll just go ahead and say it. What I predict is they're going to come in. The Republicans are going to have a map roughly picked out that they've decided to settle on. And the Democrats are going to filibuster and filibuster and filibuster to the point that they're pushing it all the way to the 11th hour. And they're going to have to use cloture votes, and they're going to have to use procedural opportunities to get this thing moving. They do not have time to waste. You know, on the one hand, maybe that's good. Maybe having no time to waste means there's no time for shenanigans. But there's going to be shenanigans. I'm just telling you. There's going to be lots of shenanigans. So it'll be fun to watch. Jerry from Decatur is texting in. Airborne, he says. Yes, sir. Roger that. All the way. All right. So today's going to be interesting. So we've got all kinds of stuff happening in the world around us. We got our own southern border that is, crooked as a jack's hind leg. And then we got adventures in woke world that I'm going to start off with first. In the meantime, I mean, there's plenty of room to work here. We're waiting on the Supreme Court of the United States to drop things in on us that could have a dynamic effect. Well, they dropped one in this morning. Here's another piece of breaking news. North Carolina redistricting case. No, I'm sorry, election law case. You know, we have said multiple times, even on the show, it has always been understood that the laws of the nation are that the election laws of the states are determined solely by the legislature. That's the U.S. Constitution. Supreme Court of the United States today said that does not prevent the courts from getting involved where they see an issue. Okay, so what that basically tells me is that nothing is set in stone. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, that the courts are the ones that set the new laws. What it does mean is don't think for a second that because something was passed in the legislature that it's done. And I guess that's true about a variety of things. I would say that's probably true in large respect to virtually everything. If a law gets passed, it's constantly available for review under constitutional, you know, scrutiny. Does it stand up to, you know, meeting statutory obligations? Was it passed in conjunction with, you know, other laws? There's no conflict of laws. But they just basically what they did was they shut down the North Carolina Republican Party's efforts to try and say, hey, you can't screw around with our lines. We drew them. Nah, they can. And we kind of know that in Alabama because we've had our lines screwed with multiple times. I don't know why we say we only draw them every 10 years, because the reality is in Alabama, we tend to draw them about every 4 to 5. So you just look at it and go, wow. But the Supreme Court's got other decisions coming out. And if they drop in during the day, we'll pause what we're doing and let you know. But we're waiting on decisions right now that'll tell us whether or not the courts are going to uphold Biden having his student loan bailout, whether or not affirmative action is allowed in going to colleges. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff left to come from SCOTUS. So we'll get on it if it comes in. In the meantime, y'all stay tuned. It's Adventures in Woke World coming up next. Be right back.